Blog Talk Radio.
Exploration. Love. Healing. Magic. You've entered a very special place where anything can happen. Stay inside your ride, but be prepared to expand your consciousness. Welcome to the Psychic Funhouse.
Welcome, 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 everybody, to the Psychic Funhouse. This is Michael Espinoza, one of your co-hosts, and I am here this lovely evening on the 22nd of October with my other lovely co-host, Mr. Lawrence Birch. Hello, Lawrence.
Hey. Woohoo. How are you? Hello, Mr. Espinoza. All right. Good to see those crowds welcoming me on the show. More like it. I need that.
Yeah.
I need that effect wherever I go. Like, you know, when I show up, I have to wait in line somewhere. I finally get up to the teller or the server or the person, I should have this applause track. Maybe I'll do that. That would be good.
I love that. That's actually a really good idea, right? Or each time that somebody is called from the line, you can play your applause track.
Right, exactly. Oh, number 55, you're served. Yay!
Exactly. Right? Nice. Nice.
Yeah.
So I heard you guys are getting rain up there. You getting rain?
We are getting rain. Yeah, we've hit the wet season pretty hard, and it's been coming down, so getting lots to drink.
Well, good.
We're trying to send some to you. I hope it makes it.
Yeah, we might get some, but it doesn't look promising. So, yeah.
Well,
so.
Mm-hmm. Well, I checked in with FedEx to try to ship some water down, but they were charging too much, so I'm sending a parcel up.
Right?
Yeah. A few tanker trucks.
Yeah. It's gonna be, thank you. That would be much appreciated. I enjoy that.
You should get back up in your ultralight and see the clouds with you know, some rain. Like you did last time.
I know. Well, I keep praying for rain and asking the gods, the nature devils,
to
please send us some rain. We need it. Por favor.
Got to do a rain dance.
Por favor. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll leave that up to you. You're the shaman.
Okay. I'll see what I can do.
Yeah. So, do we have any announcements for next week?
Well, we're definitely having a show. And since it's the last show before Halloween, going to make it a trick-or-treat. We're going to make it a trick-or-treat show. So you have to call in and listen and find out what's going to happen. So just say that as a teaser.
Wow.
How about it? Yeah.
So do our callers have to wear a costume?
Absolutely. They should wear a costume every time they call into the Psychic Funhouse or listen. Are you kidding? That's in the bylaws.
Are you wearing your costume?
I am. I'm wearing my Lawrence costume.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Oh, fantastic.
Version 367. I just got it back from the cleaners yesterday. So.
Well, thank God you cleaned it. That's good.
It was time. Scale of mustard. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very good.
Yeah.
So,
do you have any special announcements about anything?
No. Not at the moment, I don't.
Okay.
All right. So, well, I guess we'll just jump right in, right?
Jump.
Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we're in this October, right, which is we have Halloween and a Mexican holiday, Dia de los Muertos. And that's on, no, actually it's not October, it's November 1st and 2nd. But it seems that a lot of people start celebrating it early. And this year, it's a large Mexican holiday. And I'm Mexican American. We didn't grow up celebrating it at all. And so this was the year I finally decided, you know what, I should do something for this. I mean, I love it, and I really became attracted to it. It was years ago. God, I don't remember how long ago. I was living on the East Coast, and I went down to Oaxaca in Mexico.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they have a huge celebration down there, and I was just blown away by the celebration that they have down there, and the pageantry of it, and just how big this holiday is for the Mexicans, and I heard that it's bigger than, what is it, Christmas down there. This is one of the bigger holidays. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was fun. It was really nice. And, you know, everywhere in the city you go, people had altars set up with a lot of ofrendas, offerings on the altars.
Mm-hmm.
For their loved ones, and the marigolds all over the place. And then the night of, you know, the celebration in the cemetery was just so beautiful. I was just blown away by it. They decorate all the graves especially with the marigolds. They put photos of their loved ones. They bring food, drinks. A lot of candles. It's so beautiful with all the candles. And they have music, a lot of people playing music there. And a lot of families just sit in the cemetery and they eat right by the graveside. And it was just such an amazing holiday to see this. And so anyway... Yeah, that's when I was really first, turned on to the other Los Muertos in a different way. I mean, I've seen it here, but it's not as big here. It seems like it's getting a little bigger. So anyway, so first of all, one of the things I say too, this is not Mexican Halloween, right? Not in any way, shape, or form. This is not Mexican Halloween, people. And it's not a somber day either. This is not time to be sad, but to really celebrate your loved ones. And remembering them, and also to come together with other family members. So it's actually a really beautiful holiday.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think, you know, where the Mexican and Mexican American population's larger, it's starting to get more and more popular and expressed. You know, I think it does.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little tricky because Halloween is such a big holiday here that it kind of has to, you know, hold its own against that. But I can imagine, you know, being able to participate in the holiday down in Mexico would be pretty something, you know, be quite something. It'd be pretty amazing. So that's cool.
Yeah.
You have to check it out at the source.
Yeah.
In Oaxaca, it's got so much going on, you know, it's so far down into Central America. I'm sure it's got its own twists on it that are different from the other states. It might be closer to the border and more influenced by the U.S. And so, yeah.
Right. Yeah. And it's believed also that it has roots in the Aztecs.
I was going to ask you. Yeah, that's what I would have guessed. They were into that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, interesting.
Yeah.
So it goes back quite a while, quite a ways.
Yeah, and this is the tradition of the Aztecs to honor the dead. This is how they honored them. And the Aztecs believed that once you transitioned and you went to the other side, it took you, I don't remember how long, but to get to a certain place. And then once you arrived at that place, you could come back. And so this was a way of them honoring that.
Interesting.
And their loved ones. Yeah.
Yeah. So the idea of the afterlife isn't just a destination, it's a journey too. That's pretty common in a lot of cultures. The Greeks felt that way, you know, there was a transition period, and so it's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I also was reading too that it's prevalent in a lot of other Latin cultures.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, like in Spain, too. But I've never seen it in Spain.
Huh.
Or heard about it, talked about it. I don't know. Have you?
No, I haven't. And I took Spanish language all through high school and into college, but I don't remember. So is your own version of Day of the Dead, or it's the Dia de los Muertos that's been taken back to Spain?
Right. Well, and also, too, you know, it coincides with All Saints Day.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, Catholicism is pretty big in Spain, so I could see where that, you know, that would be an important part of their cultural celebrations. But yeah, it's if you celebrate All Souls Day, it's definitely, you know, a Christian religious event, and it has a totally different take than Dia de los Muertos. It's much more serious and somber because it's about, you know, mourning people that have passed and you know, praying for their salvation, kind of a thing. So, different approach, let's say.
Yeah.
So I have a surprise for you.
Oh, you do?
I do.
Is it pan de los muertos? Bread of the dead?
I made some sugar skulls for you, and they're dietetic. They're made from They're made from mannitol. No, I'm just kidding. They're made from stevia. That, they should sell those, but yeah, no.
Just as long as they're not made with allulose. GI issues.
Well, yeah, the show will come to us.
I wonder if you can make it. I wonder if you can make it. Some non-sweet, non-sugar sweeteners.
Maybe like some monk fruit mixed in there or something. Powdered monk fruit. Yeah.
Right.
Well, it's almost as sweet as that, but it's not quite really. So.
And did you decorate it like with the colored icing? Did you put the colored icing on there?
I tried, but it was too difficult, so I just put the googly eyes on it.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Yeah. That's funny.
No.
Okay, sorry. So what's the surprise?
The real surprise? Well, just like I do for every show, I did an intense amount of research, you know,
so I could be
prepared. That's how invested I am in the success of the Funhouse. And I came across, I came across something new about Dia de los Muertos that I didn't know about, called Literary Calaveras. Literary Calaveras. Have you heard of those before?
No. What is that?
So apparently it's part of the custom to write epitaphs for your friends and your family, your loved ones, or even for different things. And people put a lot of artistic time into these. Generally, you know, they write them out and they illustrate them and they give them to people or they share them. They print them in the newspaper. So they're really popular and it's a way of adding to the general merriment of the holiday. And also they can be quite profound because, you know, if you're still alive, that's the main prerequisite is the person you're paying homage to with this epitaph has to be alive so they get to appreciate what you have to say while they're still above ground. You know, it can be pretty interesting to hear what people think of you, right? You know, that whole idea about attending your funeral. So. But they're usually, you know, pretty humorous, kind of tongue-in-cheek. But I wrote one for you.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
You did?
I did.
Wow.
Would you like to hear it?
Is it is it appropriate to read here on air?
I don't think it's going to offend too many people. So, you know, we might lose a few listeners, but we'll probably gain a few. So I think it's a net neutral. You know, some people might be turned off.
Cool.
Yeah. But we don't want them in the
anyway.
They can't handle it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I think what's actually going to happen
all
is
right.
People are going to get real. They're going to get really jealous and they're going to want us to make literary Calaveras for them. So. That's probably the biggest.
Okay, cool.
So just so you're prepared. Your phone might be ringing off the hook afterwards.
Okay.
I love that Calavera.
Cool.
Michael, can I have one? Well, we do charge for these, so. Talk to the Funhouse business office.
All right.
Yeah.
So, go ahead.
All right. Well,
I'm ready.
If I could have music set to this, I would, but I can't do too many things at once. So, okay. Here it is. A literary Calavera for my mi amigo Miguel Espinosa. I once had a buen amigo, su nombre Miguel. He was sweet, salty, and spicy as hell. He talked to the spirits. He talked to the dead. He talked to the voices inside his head. Some say he's in El Cielo. Some say in El Infierno. But we know his soul is in El Gato Palacio. He's wearing his crown in his caftan, looking down at all us mere mortals. Bow, bow, bow. How exactly he passed, no one can say, but his former cat pals must have spirited him away. There you go.
Wow.
Your Calavera, senor. Yeah. You're welcome.
Wow. I love that.
Suitable for framing.
Oh, my God. That was so nice.
Wasn't that?
Wow. Yeah.
That makes
sense.
And
I could tell.
You really worked on that. I did. Yeah. Yeah, makes up for all the mean things I say about you on the show in public. So, a little bit.
Well, I don't know.
Not 100%.
A little bit. Not 100%. A little bit. Yeah, I'll take it.
it's a high mountain to climb. Let's put it that way. So, yeah, at least I got started.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Lawrence. I really, really like that. Wow.
Yeah.
Very cool.
It was inspiring.
Very
it was
good.
Fun to write. Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
I never heard of that before.
Yeah.
I like it.
When you do some more looking into it, you'll see it's a pretty popular thing. people write them about different stuff. And they're pretty cool. I've seen them about... somebody wrote one, it was funny, it was about the death of, let's see, this one's good. Cervezas, down at the cantina, they're shedding big tears in mourning because someone killed a few beers. So the you know,
very good.
You have a subject, yeah, you have a subject, and then you have to, you get to say whatever you want about them, and then you have to also in the Calavera, part of the tradition is sharing how they passed away. What did they die from? And so a lot of people have somebody take them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
okay,
yeah. So there's one on...
very cool.
There's one on manners, the death of manners, which is pretty funny. It's called Death of Manners. She met her cruel end at a dinner with friends. Not one of them RSVP'd. She felt all alone as they stared at their phones and double-dipped chips out of greed. Loud calls were taken, politeness forsaken. Their language was not safe for work. She felt ill at ease when not one uttered please. In short, they were all being jerks, you know, so it goes on from there, but it's that idea. But it ends with the death of manners.
Wow. Definitely.
Yeah.
So, back to Dia de los Muertos.
Yes.
And, they say that during this time, this is when the veil between the other side and here on Earth is thin. And that's why it's easier for the spirits to make it here to Earth and to visit with their loved ones. I haven't really experienced that before, though.
No.
During this time. Have you?
I kind of have, yeah.
In what way?
It's interesting. It's interesting how it happens. Well, actually, it can show up in a variety of different ways for me. And it actually feels like it's happening right now. The biggest sign is, while I was out driving around last night, a couple owls flew right over my car or right by me, big ones. And for me, owls are a family totem. They come from my grandparents' side. They're both owl people. So so I always get a feeling of closeness to my family when I interact with owls in some way or hear them. But seeing them is really pretty special because you have to be in the right place at the right time. And then, you know, there's a lot of folklore and beliefs, you know, literature, symbols associated with owls as being harbingers and in communication with the dead. And so it's happened to me quite a bit that when I see an owl, it's a sign that either somebody significant has died or somebody I know has died, or there's something happening with somebody passing on, or it's a message from somebody who's passed on. So kind of intense in a way, but also
that's interesting.
Yeah. Sort of like helps me prepare a little bit too, you know? So when I get the news, I'm like, oh yeah, okay. I'm not surprised. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I think the other thing that happens for me around this time of the year is just tend to get contacted by spirits a little bit more, I think. I also attribute that to being darker and darker earlier and earlier. So, you know, there's more time for them to manifest, move about. Daylight
right.
can be tricky for spirits, I think. So, but, you know, I'll hear things or see things or feel like I'm getting communication, you know. And I think part of what I attribute that to, for me personally, is just my heritage as a Celtic person, you know, because I've got a lot of genetic connection to Celtic people. So,
Interesting.
That's what I feel like responsible for that increase. Because this is important. This is the, you know, we're getting into the end of the year for the Celtic tradition. Their new year is, you know, pretty much at the end of the month. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this is a big deal for them. I'm not, you know, a big follower of all the holidays like some of the people I know who observe them, but I'm aware of them. So, yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
They had a lot of traditions around the dead, and they also practiced something called the wild hunt, where to, you know, bring in the new year and to chase out the old, they do this ritualized hunt of a person who would usually wear a traditional outfit that often involves like antlers, you know, or a stag's head. And everybody would chase it around until they were successfully able to, you know, capture it basically. And then that was part of their ritual of letting the old year go and bringing in the new year, hoping it would be successful.
So. Interesting.
Yeah. So many different cultures. You know, it's interesting.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, around this time of year, I mean, I don't experience any more spiritual activity during this time. But I do sense a different energy in the air you know, and I don't know, maybe it's, you know, fall starting to approach, but there, to me, I do sense a different energy. And I need to really, I should kind of meditate on that more and try to describe what that is. But, you know, I guess maybe it's, you know, the shorter days, and the getting a little cooler. And but there's also something else there. And I find it very interesting. Yeah. But I don't experience any more spiritual or as it, energetic activity outside around me.
Yeah. Well, that whole idea of the veils being thin is interesting in and of itself. You know, what does that mean exactly, and what's that about? But you know, it's, you know, for some people, I think, you know, it's a confluence of you know, when access is more available, but not every culture feels that way. So
I love the Dia de los Muertos and just honoring your loved ones and letting it be a time of celebration. And I think here in the States, we're starting to switch a little bit in terms also of like when people transition. Just recently, a friend of mine transitioned, and I went to her life celebration, and it was so beautiful. It, they brought all her friends together, coworkers, family. It was held outdoors because of COVID, and it was just so nice, and she did so many things. She was really intelligent and very gifted artistically, and so she was in a writer's circle, and all the, her writer friends came, and people played. She was also in a choir. The choir came, and some musicians came, and they sang, and then they had remembrance about her, and people spoke, and it was just amazing, amazing. And it was just, I mean, it was sad, but it, from when I grew up and just seeing, you know, a sea of black and people crying inside the church, and I was at the graveside. Yeah, it was nice. It was really, really nice. I really enjoyed that. And that's what how Dia de los Muertos feels a little bit to me. It's more celebratory of these people, your loved ones. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's nice. Yeah. I'm going to try to, this time, I'm going to try to contact my father. It's interesting. And my father's been gone now, I think 9 or 10 years. And he doesn't come to me, which is really weird. Here I am, a medium, and he won't come. So he's been brought through by other mediums. But yeah, so I think I'm going to try to do that. Yeah, this year, and put on my Spidey suit and have him come through.
Your Spidey suit. Nice. You better take some snapshots and selfies.
Right.
Is that the same suit you go trick or treating in? Scare all the little kids?
No.
Okay.
Should we take a call? We have some people
we
on
should.
The line. I thought, you know what? Yeah, let's take a call and see what somebody has to offer, if they want to offer any of their insights, or what if they observe Dia de los Muertos. So we're going to go to the board, take your call. If you can just tell us your name and tell us where you're calling from. And if you have any, tell us about how you celebrate Dia de los Muertos, and if you do. All right. So here we are. We're taking caller 954. Hello, 954. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hello, my name is Shanice, and I'm calling from Florida.
Shanice, is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, Shanice.
And you're calling from Brea?
I'm Florida.
Florida.
Florida. Oh, my God, my hearing is going. Hi, Shanice from Florida.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you celebrate Dia de los Muertos?
Well, I do commemorate my ancestors, but I don't celebrate the Mexican holiday. But I know a little bit about it, and there's people in my area that do celebrate it. They actually have, like, a parade where people wear, like, different costumes, and they have, like, the face paint with the skulls and all of the, like, colorful outfits, and it's really cool.
Nice.
That's nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. So do you have a question for us?
Yeah, sure. On my spiritual journey, I'm trying to get closer and more connected to my ancestors. And I'm kind of curious to see if there's, like, any messages that my ancestors might be wanting to send to me or show me, so that I can get more connected to them and get more understanding and guidance in my life.
Okay. That's a good question.
Very timely. All right, we'll give us a second or two to tune in, and we'll see what we have to share with you, Shanice, okay?
Okay.
I do feel there is a big, I usually refer to the ancestors as a tribe, and it feels like there's a big tribe behind you. It feels like there's a lot of ancestors throughout history that are watching over you.
Okay.
Yeah. So hold on, let them. One of the things I'm getting is it feels like they used to do, they had some rituals that they used to practice, and it feels like the rituals are not being practiced as much or anymore. Do you understand that?
Right. So a little bit of background. I come from an African, Native American, and European ancestry. So I feel like some of my ancestors might have been partaking in different shamanistic or maybe animal sacrifices, maybe possibly even Santeria, Voodoo, or Palo Mayombe. So I don't practice those religions yet. But I feel like those rituals were part of my ancestors hundreds of years ago.
Go ahead. Sorry. Finish.
I became more involved in those type of things, then I could connect to my ancestors more. And, like, recently I've been introduced to people who practice those types of things. And they've told me different things, and I've picked up on it as well. So it's very possible that one day in the future I might be initiated and then I would practice. It always feels like any time that I'm having like a difficult or challenging time that I get pulled into those African shamanistic indigenous religions. It's like a way to help me like deal with different challenges in life. And then I've started doing tarot card readings and things like that to help me try to understand different situations happening so I can get more clarity.
Very good. Very good. I would urge you to maybe do a little research if you can. Maybe interview some of your elders now and to see if there are some types of celebrations or what I was saying, the practices that they used to practice. And if anybody has that information, and so that you can start tapping into that. Because it feels, too, like there's a lot of them watching over you. A lot. You have a lot of ancestors there. And, I think they're also going to help guide you through this process. And so that's why you said, you know, like something will come to you, like to practice, what is it, Santeria?
Right. So like,
you know, when you need to. Yeah.
Right. When I'm dealing with different challenges, I always feel like I'm being pulled back into the African religion or the indigenous Native American beliefs, like shamanism and different things like that.
Okay. Yeah. Well, are you apprehensive about practicing it?
It's certain things. Like, I used to be a vegan, and then I was a vegetarian. And, like, I'm not really too much into the whole sacrificing animals. But I understand why people feel the need to do it, and it's even in the Bible, too. So I think that's just one of the things.
Right.
And then the other thing, too, is that, like, there are some forces behind those things, and they can be very dark. So it's important to know what you're doing and work with someone who has the knowledge and experience so that if some spirit or entity crosses over, that it doesn't harm you or attack you or anybody else around you.
Right. Right. So are you working with somebody currently that can help you through this and guide you?
I know a person right now that practices voodoo, and they're willing to teach me all of the different things about it. So I'm willing to learn. I'm not really 100% sure if my ancestors did voodoo or Santeria or Palo Mayombe. I'm not sure which one it was, but I guess in me learning more, then I'll have like a more understanding, and then I guess when I learn more, I'll be able to figure out which path is right for me.
I would agree with you, and I would, urge you to take that route, right? To do what feels right. Also, too, you know, when we do that, the soul kind of takes over, and it helps guide you through that process. And so when we find or discover a new practice, a new religion, and it fits and it feels good, that's the soul kind of telling you, okay, yeah, this is the thing you're supposed to do. So, I think you're on the right path. What do you think, Lawrence?
Well,
you have
you
anything?
Know, uh, I have, Yeah, I do have some stuff to share with Shanice. One thing I would also suggest to her, not to toot the Psychic Funhouse's horn too loudly, but we did a show back in April, at the end of April, with a lovely guest named Tanya Mercado. And she, you might want to go back and listen to that for some inspiration. She's a Santeria and a Palo Mayombe practitioner herself, based in Southern California. But she had a very interesting and deeply personal story that she was kind enough to share with us and our listeners about her journey into those practices. And it wasn't something that she, in the beginning, ever thought that she was going to take up, but she ended up actually traveling all the way back to Cuba and getting initiated and having some really, really powerful, meaningful experiences. And she also, she's also very aware of the conflicts and I would say even also the prejudices that are still around about these particular, you know, very ancient, very old practices. What she has to say, I think, is, you know, it's very, it's just really practical, but it's also really helpful. So if you, you know, we always are suggesting people subscribe to our show on whatever podcast platform they listen to, but you can go back and look at our archives and find find the show about Tanya Mercado and give it a listen to when you have a chance. Yeah, Shanice, I think you'll get a lot out of it. She also has her own podcast, Brujo 101, which is totally different show from ours, but also worth checking out too. So, and she has a website, and you can find all that out on the show. But see what you think. You know, what came up for me, just to shift gears for you a little bit, with your situation, was are you close to the ocean where you live in Florida at all? I know everybody is, but do you live in a town that's coastal, or do you live more inland? Or
yeah, the ocean is about 30 minutes away from here.
Yeah, well, what I got, you know, you've been working on getting closer, is spending some intentional time doing ritual work with the ocean. I think that force of water played a really big part in your ancestors' lives in general, but also with their spiritual beliefs. And so maybe you've already done some work with that already, but creating you know, an offering ceremony, a welcoming ceremony, you know, desire to be in partnership, asking somebody to step forward who you can trust and who will, you know, in a loving, supportive way, be your ally on the spirit side. I think you'll find, you know, engaging with that while harnessing the immense power of the ocean you know, will make a difference in starting to move your practice forward. The other aspect of that littoral, the ocean, is that it's a crossroads in and of itself, right? It's a meeting place, and it's where land and ocean meet. And wherever there are boundaries, there's a lot of powerful stuff that can happen there, and you can take advantage of that energy as well, right? And it's also mirrored in your pathway, Shanice, because people that do shamanistic work, I'm a shamanic practitioner myself, we're the bridges, right? So we're the way people in our reality access other realities, and it's also how people in the spirit world can come give their messages or do good work here in this plane. So I've always found going to the sea and even just, you know, bodies of water, even rivers or creeks, anything that has a water in it is a really helpful medium for energizing my practice and helping me access things that I might not be able to get to otherwise. So I would try to, you know, spend some time right there on the water, even in the water, by the water, you know, on a weekly basis with some really good thoughtful intention behind what you want to accomplish, and see if that doesn't help elevate and things for you, and also start opening some doors. So
And another thing, like, I really like swimming. Mm-hmm. So I'm really good with swimming, being in the water. It feels very, like, natural for me, and I feel like I have to do that, like, once a week. Like, go swimming once a week. That's really interesting you mentioned that.
Yeah. Well, you know, it may seem kind of silly at first, but one of the things I like to do when I remember is to consciously invite my spirit guides and my helpers and my ancestors to participate with me when I'm doing everyday things like seeing a movie or when I'm going out, you know, running errands or shopping. It doesn't have to be, you know, something really magical. And just to acknowledge them is really powerful, and they appreciate that. And then also to consciously invite them to participate, that's something you could easily do when you take your swim. Just say, hey, you know, let's make this a spirit swim. Come out and, you know, join me while I'm swimming, and, you know, we can share this experience together. Because for people that were once alive, you know, it's a very different sensory experience when you pass over to come back and take a look at people that are still embodied and what they go through. And for the most part, my experiences in that way have been really productive and valuable. And it's just, you know, it's another way of honoring them. It may seem like you're, you know, why would you invite somebody to help you, you know, tune up your car, but they can also show you stuff that you might not have seen otherwise. And I think when you take it to that level, you might experience some really subtle but also possibly profound things while you're out there in the water or wherever you go. So another idea for you to consider. Yeah, cool. Well, I'm glad you like the water. You're a water baby. That's awesome. You're in a good place for that. So.
Thank you.
Yeah.
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 Well, thanks for calling.
I like
calling.
The water. Oh, no problem. I was going to say, I like swimming, being in the ocean, being in the swimming pool. I also like planting, like, plants, flowers, cleaning up nature. Like, if there's, like, litter, I like to pick it up, clean it up. Like, I care about the land here and making it less toxic and less contaminated.
Well, you know, that's awesome.
Great.
That's another perfect place for you to have your ancestors along, you know, when you're doing some rehabilitation or showing your appreciation and gratitude by helping restore things, you know. Take your ancestors for a recycling walk or, you know, clean up the neighborhood walk. That's awesome. So good for you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, we need more people. Yeah, we need more people like you out there. So,
absolutely.
You're gonna find you're gonna find your community. It's something that happens in, you know, bits and pieces, but it'll be assembled before you know it, and you'll feel like you're in the right place. So, good luck.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Good luck
thanks
to
for
you,
joining
Shanice.
Us on the Funhouse. Call us.
Yeah.
Let us
call
know how you're doing.
And let us know how it goes. Yeah.
Give us an update.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Be well. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Wow. That's interesting. I like that. Great question, too. Right? Checking in with the ancestors to see what they have to say. Yeah. Very wise.
Yeah. What a sweet person. Really good energy from her. So that's nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, she will definitely find a path. Yeah. I don't think she'll have a problem doing that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, right. Yeah. So we've come to the lightning round. So we're going to take another caller. We're almost out of time.
but we are definitely going to take another caller. All right, so 937, what's your name and where are you calling from? Hello, 937.
Yes, hello, good evening, gentlemen. My name is William. I'm calling from Florida.
Hi, William. Thank you for calling in.
How are you doing?
Nice to have you.
Absolutely, thank you.
Good.
Thank you.
How are you?
The question I had was, I was curious. I had a recent relationship that ended with a young lady by the name of Miracle, and I was just curious if we were going to be getting back together, and if so, what is it going to take?
I'm not feeling you guys are, William.
Okay.
I'm not feeling that connection, you know, between the two of you still. It feels like sometimes when people come to me and they tell me they've broken up with somebody, you can still feel the energetic connection between the two and that it's not done. But for you, I'm sorry to tell you, I'm not feeling that connection anymore between the two of you. And it feels like it's coming more from her.
Okay.
Yeah. Lawrence, do you have anything for William?
Yeah, I'm getting the same message, William, that you know, as far as you having a relationship like you experienced previously with Miracle, that's not not in the cards. I do think that you are going to have. You're going to have a significant, even meaningful interaction with her moving forward, but it's not going to be on the same level intimately or romantically. If you're open to that and you're open to letting that unfold on its own, then I think you'll find that there's still going to be some value with this person. But coming at them with any other energy, I think it's just going to end up creating more of a barrier. So,
okay.
I mean, hopefully that's helpful. That may not be what you wanted to hear from us, but that's just, you know, how it goes sometimes. So,
understandable.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, appreciate
good luck
it.
To you, William.
Yeah, we appreciate
Thank
you.
Sure.
Yeah, let us Absolutely. Know how it goes.
Absolutely. Thank you.
You bet. Be well.
Wow. Well, here we are. Guess what time it is, sir?
Where are we?
We're at the fun house.
Oh, that's right.
And it's going to end.
Not a fun
Sorry.
House.
Yeah.
It's an energetic
thing
to the fun house.
Yeah.
The Calliope man is getting show tunes on. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you, everybody, for calling in. Sorry we didn't get to more callers tonight. Next time, hopefully we can take some more calls. Lawrence, how can people get a hold of you?
I'm so glad you asked. They can call or text 541-344-7534. My email is givingtree@earthlink.net. My Facebook page, apparently it's going to be changed, so maybe it'll be called something else. But for now, Facebook is a good place to message me. That is Giving Tree Farm Herbs, my herbal business. And I have a website, givingtreefarm.com. So lots of options for you.
Whoa!
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
The spirits are,
thank you.
They're inhabiting the organ. Yeah. they will be heard. How about you, Mr. Espinoza? What's
yeah.
your contact info for
you
healing?
You can go to my website, michaeljespinoza.com, to schedule
mm-hmm.
a healing or a reading there with me. You
mm-hmm.
also can go to my Instagram page, MJ Espinoza. So I am on Instagram as well. So
wow.
thank you, everybody, for calling in. Appreciate it. We appreciate all of you. You can also take us with you on go to Amazon, Apple, Google, and Spotify podcast platforms, and you can download our episodes and bring us with you. So from the studios here at the Psychic Funhouse, we thank you all for calling in today and being here with us. Be sure to follow us here at blogtalkradio.com. So we thank you for
never
calling
miss an episode.
In.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Thank you to the spirit. And I want to thank my lovely
yes.
co-host because
thank you,
he's
spirit.
Amazing, as always. So.
And I want to thank my lovely co-host as well. Yeah. Well, thank you, everybody. Have a wonderful week, and we will see you back here next Friday, 6:30 p.m. Pacific time. Have a great week. Take care. Bye-bye.